Welcome to episode 13 of this second season of Idiom America, the podcast that looks at idioms, those bits of language that have taken on lives of their own to become something more than just the sum of the meanings of the individual words. Now, to see how that life got started, where it came from, how it's evolved, what it means today, and anything else that's interesting along the way. In the last couple of episodes, we looked at hat idioms, so I thought we'd go topsy-turvy, upside down, head over heels, and look at the bottom of what's below the hat, the heel, the humble, lowly heel, and check out some heel-related idioms. And the idea for this episode came the other day when I heard the idiom well-heeled, which of course means well-to-do, wealthy, affluent, in possession of plenty of money, the well-heeled, living in the Tony neighborhood of Georgetown where everything's bespoke, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought maybe well-heeled had something to do with fancy footwear or came from olden times when maybe only the wealthy could afford to pay a cobbler to put a good heel on a boot. But the origin of this one surprised me, and so I thought it'd be worth going into in an episode. And it turns out that this one comes from cockfighting, where a well-heeled cock was one that was provided with sharp spurs so that it could inflict maximum damage. So in the early 1700s, you had people going around talking about heeling a fighting cock and a well-heeled cockerel, equipped with the best and latest in spur technology. And then people started to use the terms being equipped with other kinds of weapons. And out on the American frontier in the latter part of the 1800s, it started to be used in the sense of being armed with a revolver or other weapon. Well equipped that way. And one of the first uses in this sense was in Mark Twain's Letters from Hawaii in 1866, where he wrote about Virginia City, Nevada, which is a cool city in the Old West to visit if you're ever in the area. And he wrote, in Virginia City, in former times, the insulted party, if he were a true man, would lay his hand gently on his six-shooter and say, "Are you healed?" And so from there, people started to use healed in the sense of being supplied with money, which is pretty much the only way it's used these days. I did find an 1889 dictionary of American slang that defined healed as armed, weaponed, well defended, an allusion to the practice of arming the birds in cockfighting with steel spurs. So the provenance of this one seems pretty well founded. But it's worth noting that the term seemed to be in a bit of flux at the time, as there are some other uses from that time period that pop up, such as one that refers to being drunk, from an 1882 trial in the Minnesota Senate of a Judge Cox. We get, question: did you ever see the judge during any of those nights when you were there drinking at the bar? Answer: yes, I have drank with him at the bar. Was that this night that you said he got pretty full, pretty well healed? Yes, sir. That was the night you drank with him? Yes, sir. How much had you been drinking that night yourself? Oh, well, I drank a little. Yes, you was pretty well healed too, wasn't you? Not very bad. Now, isn't it a fact that this night you were so drunk that you could hardly see? We still see this one pop up in places on the internet as a possible definition for well healed, but it never really stuck around, and you never really hear it used like that. At least I don't. You might think that well-heeled had something to do with the idiom down at the heels, since it means pretty much the opposite of well-heeled, and in particular refers to something or someone that's in a bad condition because of lack of money or because of misuse, overuse, or lack of care, something that's showing signs of neglect and deterioration, shabby, like a down-at-the-heels house or somebody out on the street homeless or someone who's had a run of bad luck that's left them in poverty. You also hear this one sometimes as just down at the heel. And I think it might have something to do with the success of well-heeled as an idiom that means well off. I think it's got to have something to do with the fact that it's such a nice contrast to this one, down at the heels, even if it didn't arise directly from it. And this one does seem to come directly from footwear and the fact that the wearing of shoes with worn down heels is a mark of destitution. One of the first uses of it was from 1732 when William Darrell's A Gentleman Instructed in the Conduct of a Virtuous and Happy Life, where he wrote, about somebody who'd snuck into a corner that was down at the heels and out at elbows. And out at elbows, or out at the elbow, is a synonym for down at the heel, with the same idea of shabbiness that comes from wearing one's jacket out so much that it's worn through at the elbows. Karl Marx in 1848 also used this one when he referred to the tatterdemalion proletariat, that vague, dissolute, down at heels and out at elbows rabble, which the French denote by the composite name of La Bohème. Tatterdemalion, that's a great word that you don't hear much, meaning ragged or disreputable in appearance, or in a decayed state or condition, dilapidated. It's like somebody took the adjective tattered, meaning ragged or wearing ragged clothes, and just threw on the demalion part for some reason. Perhaps to drive home the point that it's really tattered, almost to the point of being demolished. Kind of like calling a ragged person or someone in rags a ragamuffin, with the suffix muffin just thrown on there kind of fancifully. Anyhow, I think that out at elbows is a pretty good idiom to use to refer to something shabby or worn out, one that should get more use than it does. And just quickly, it's worth mentioning that just like out at elbows refers to being worn out at the elbows, before the idiom became down at the heels, it was out at heels. Take Falstaff in Shakespeare's 1602 comedy, The Merry Wives of Windsor, where he's pleading poverty. "Well, sirs, I am almost out at heels." But down at the heels, with the image of a shoe's heel gradually getting worn down a little more every day, shorter and shorter, is an improvement, I think, on out at heels. And speaking of wearing down your heels, one thing that'll do it is if you're always dragging them. And to drag your heels, also heard sometimes as drag your feet, means, of course, to move slowly and reluctantly because you don't want to be doing something, to procrastinate, put off, slow walk, dilly-dally dawdle. I've been dragging my heels about filing my taxes. And I was thinking about this one yesterday. I was out rollerblading with my daughter and practicing using the heel brake, where you literally drag your heel to stop. And this one seems to have arisen in the 1940s, and it's easy enough to see why. The image of delaying something by digging in your heels and dragging them comes to mind pretty readily, I think. And to dig in one's heels, meaning to act in a determined manner by firmly maintaining your beliefs, demands, etc., in the face of some opposition, is probably related to this one. And it probably comes from something like a tug-of-war, where you dig in and brace yourself and try to maintain your position despite the pressure. And so this one has the connotation of the harder that you try to get somebody to change or get them to go along, the more they refuse and resist, the deeper their heels get dug in. And so if you're really dug in, leaning backwards on the rope, resisting someone trying to pull you over to your side, you're back on your heels, no doubt, but you're not going to be set back on your heels, which means to be surprised or shocked, put at a disadvantage. And this one comes from something like boxing and lots of other sports, where if your weight is on your toes, you're on offense, and if you're back on your heels, you're on defense. And there are quite a few of these heel idioms whose meaning is pretty self-evident, like at someone's heels, meaning to follow just behind someone, often in an annoying way. And it's used a lot for competition, too, to refer to a competitor that's at your heels. And this one's sometimes heard as hard on someone's heels or hot on someone's heels as well. And if you vary these two just slightly, their meaning can change, as you can use these to say that one event came hard on the heels or hot on the heels of another. And so you're saying that it's happening very quickly or immediately after the other. His second mistake came hard on the heels of his first. And finally, another variant of this one is to nip at someone's heels, which carries the meaning of competing with someone, challenging them, trying to win, being almost as good. With the image here of a dog chasing you, poised to overtake you, right behind you, nipping at your heels. And speaking of dogs, we get the idiom, bring someone to heel, or call to heel, which means to compel someone to obey or to force someone into a submissive condition. The prison guard takes pleasure out of bringing new prisoners to heel. Or just to cause to act in a disciplined manner, like the new teacher brought her unruly students to heel. And this comes from the command heel, that you'd give a dog to make it closely follow its master, and it appears to have arisen as an idiom in the last half of the 1800s. And related to this one is to be under the heel of someone or something, meaning to be completely controlled by something or someone, kind of like under the thumb, but with the connotation of being even more dominated. Ukraine would never submit to living under the heel of Russia. Just take the Rolling Stones song Under My Thumb and reimagine the lyrics with Under My Heel, and it becomes even more gross, I think. And it's, you know, singing about the kind of relationship where you hope somebody takes to their heels. I mean, and of course, to run away, he took to his heels when he saw the cop. And this one alludes to the fact that all you can see of somebody in, you know, a cartoon sort of way is their heels when they're hightailing it out of there. So another variation of this one is to show one's heels or show a clean pair of heels, both of which mean the same thing. You can also cop a heel, which also means to leave, but it has a more lackadaisical feel to it, more walking away than running away. Once you've finished work here, you can cop a heel. Similarly, you can spin on your heels or turn on your heels, which means to leave or turn around suddenly. I couldn't take it anymore, so I spun on my heels and left the room. Or she turned on her heels and stomped away in anger. And once you've gotten away, you can kick up your heels. Meaning, of course, to do something relaxing, to enjoy yourself, have some fun, usually after a long period of being busy. I can't wait for spring break so I can kick up my heels and party. Or she can't wait to retire and kick up her heels and travel. And this one can also mean to just relax or lounge with your heels up, like on a sofa or beach chair. And interestingly, in the 1600s, this one used to be used as an idiom for being killed, for kicking the bucket. But around 1900, it started to be used in the modern sense, and it kind of evokes the image of a prancing horse or an exuberant dancer kicking up their heels. And speaking of horses, that's where we get the idiom to cool one's heels, meaning to wait for something to happen or being forced to wait for it. I cooled my heels in the waiting room for the doctor to see me. And in this sense, it often has the connotation that the one who is making that person wait wants to be rude or to snub the person who is waiting intentionally. Putin is often late to meetings with other world leaders, leaving them to cool their heels and wait for him to appear. But this one's also used just in the sense of taking a break, a rest. You'll burn yourself out if you don't cool your heels now and again. And this meaning is closer to the original literal meaning, as it came from back in the day when horses were the main means of transportation and their hooves would become heated on a long trip, and they'd benefit from a brief respite to allow their whole hooves to cool a little, hence the expression. Is there anything that you can fall head over heels in besides love? The only one I could really think of quickly was debt, which is kind of an interesting juxtaposition there, I think. You can, of course, just simply fall head over heels, which means to fall down and tumble in a clumsy or violent way, but we most often hear this one as to fall head over heels in love with someone or something. And until the late 18th century, this expression was actually heels over head, which, although it sounds weird because it's unaccustomed, it actually has more of a charm to it, I think, as it kind of has this double meaning where it's your feet triumphing over your head, taking you to your lover despite what the head might say. Heels over head. But whatever the order, it usually implies that you've fallen hopelessly, madly, to the point of distraction, to the point where you're not sure what's up and what's down, which I suppose can hyperbolically describe the situation where you're deeply in debt, up to your ears in debt, drowning in it, which is, I guess, why you often hear that someone is head over heels in debt. And finally, let's take a look at that most famous of heels, that of Achilles. And Achilles' heel is an idiom meaning, of course, a weak point or a fault in someone or something that is otherwise perfect or excellent. a vulnerability, a fatal weakness that can lead to permanent destruction or downfall. And this one's often just used in jest, though, as in something like ice cream or chocolate is my Achilles heel. And you're probably familiar with the backstory to this one and how it comes from the Greek myth in which when Achilles was an infant, it was foretold that he would perish at a young age. And so to prevent his death, his mother took him to the river Styx, which was supposed to offer powers of invulnerability. And she dipped his body into the water, but because she held him by his heel, it was not touched by the river water and was not protected, so that later he was killed by a poisonous arrow or dart to his heel. And this legend always reminded me of baptism, particularly in those religions that believe that in order to be done right, a baptism must be by complete immersion. And I remember witnessing a baptism or two where the toe or something floated up when the person was being dunked. And so the ceremony had to be repeated to ensure its efficacy. At any rate, although this legend is ancient, the phrase actually wasn't used in English until the 19th century. And now, of course, we have also the Achilles tendon, which really literally is a weak point. And surprisingly, this term dates back further than the use of Achilles heel as an idiom, as the oldest known written record of the tendon being named for Achilles goes back to 1693. And the Achilles tendon actually does live up to its name as a weak point, as it can often rupture, just snap and break. And it's also susceptible to inflammation, Achilles tendonitis, or tendinosis, which is soreness or stiffness of the tendon that can occur due to overexercising or overuse. I remember my first big bike trip when I was trying to do 1,400 miles in 12 days with thousands of feet in elevation every day, and how a few days into it, my Achilles tendons were just on fire, so sore that I thought I must for sure be doing permanent damage to them by continuing to pedal, but they did recover with some rest, and my heels all throughout were fine, though. And I think the heel gets kind of an undeserved bad rap. You can even call someone a real heel, meaning a contemptible person, a person who's self-centered or untrustworthy. Or in professional wrestling, you have the heels, who are the antagonists, the villains, the rule breakers, bad guys. Meanwhile, the heel just keeps on doing its job, taking a daily beating, usually never complaining. Strongest part of the body in some ways. So I'm happy we got the well-heeled idiom to balance things out. And I hope you enjoyed hearing about this and other heel idioms with me. All hail the heel.